I'd like us to read from God's Word, and it's the Psalm 119. We're just going to read one of the sections of that psalm, and we're looking, please, at the verse 129. You will see that the hymn writer, whose hymn we've just sung, shared something of the estimation of the Bible that is set forth here in this psalm. Thy testimonies are wonderful. Therefore doth my soul keep them. That's how you enter into the wonders of God's Word. It's one thing to read of the wonders, but it's a different thing when you obey God's Word and enter into the experience of the wonders. The entrance of thy Word giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for thy commandments. Look thou upon me and be merciful unto me. There is never a time when the believer may set aside praying for mercy. We're always in need of mercy, because we're always sinning. If we say we have no sin, at any minute of the day, any day of the week, if we say we're without sin, we're wrong, we're lying, and that's why it is ever necessary for us to be pleading for mercy. Look thou upon me and be merciful unto me, as thou usest to do unto those that love thy name. I recall some time ago it being said that it was wrong to be looking back and wishing to see again things, good things that happened in former times. That wasn't right. Well, I'm glad to see a lot of people were practicing this particular looking back, that it wasn't right in the eyes of this particular person. Here, the psalmist is saying, as you used to do, do it again. And it's good that we can ask that. When we look back at the wonderful days, and here in Ulster, within the lifetime of this generation, there have been wonderful times. But turning the pages of the history books, we find other wonderful days. And it's good that you can look back to those and ask, Lord, do it again. Do it again. Those who enjoyed those wonderful times in the past were no more worthy of God's blessing than are we today. And mind you, that's saying something. But God doesn't act according to our worthiness. He acts according to His sovereign grace. So this is what the psalmist is praying for in verse 132. Verse 133, order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Deliver me from the oppression of man, so will I keep thy precepts. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant, and teach me thy statutes. Rivers of waters run down mine eyes, because they keep not thy law. There's a great need for us to shed tears. In these days, I've just written a wee article, sent it out, highlighting how that in England, the Methodist Church, the church started in days of revival, has just passed a motion sanctioning within its ranks the marriage, man to man and woman to woman. What an abomination. It reminds us what sin will do, the wreckage and destruction that it will work. Well, we have read the section that contains the text I want to look at tonight. We trust the Lord will bless the reading of His Word. I want to look, please, at the verse 133 of this psalm. I'll read it again. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. I read these words, and those of you who follow the Robert Murray McShane Bible reading calendar read these words a few days ago. I read them just after Mr. Crane had invited me to take the meeting tonight, asked if that was possible, and I thought that it might well be, so I agreed to do that, and shortly after I read, I think it was the next day, I read these words, and they appealed to me as words worthy of further consideration. That's one thing about the Psalm 119. It is made up of a series of wonderfully acute little statements, each one of which provides you with so much information and so much suggestive material. You don't have to be a preacher to see the suggestions that are there in the words of this psalm. And as I looked at it, I thought that would be a nice verse to consider at the prayer meeting. So I want to set before you four little thoughts that I see here in this verse. And I'll be as brief as possible. I'm no laughing when I say that, because I've often said that in the past and miserably failed at being brief. But I will try very hard tonight. First of all, I want you to notice that a holy life is an orderly life. See that? Order my steps in thy word. The man or the woman who is walking with God will be seen to be living in an orderly fashion. The Hebrew word that's translated here, orderly, is a word of very broad meaning. And consequently, our translators used quite a number of English words when they came upon this word in the Hebrew text. Words like prepare, establish, direct. And those are just some of the English words that were used to translate the Hebrew word underlying our English word here, order. Now this word, of course, is employed by the Holy Ghost, and we must therefore look at it very reverently. I always like, when I am studying a particular word, I always like to look at where it first appeared. And as a general rule, is usually something very helpful as to how it is used in its first appearance. And it first appears in Genesis chapter 41. Genesis chapter 41, and it's the verse 32. The verse 32. Joseph is responding to Pharaoh, who has just told him the dreams he has had. You remember the dreams, the good ears and the thin ears of corn, the good fat cattle and the lean, thin cattle. Well, in verse 32, Joseph explains the significance of the two dreams. For that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice. It is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. And there's our Hebrew word from our text. Only here it's translated by the word established. We could perhaps use the word ordered. The thing is ordered by God. It's established. It's going to happen. And the walk of the child of God who is endeavoring to obey the Lord will be a walk that's established, it's firm, it's fixed. The psalmist said on another occasion, my heart is fixed. And I've often read that and asked the Lord, oh, give me a fixed heart. For my heart seems to wander about an awful lot. Oh, to be able to say my heart is fixed, or to be able to say my feet are fixed. They don't wander. They're established. And just like the dream of Pharaoh, which was going to come to pass, the one who is obeying God and walking with God and who is enjoying the orderly life is one who will be fixed and focused in how it is they live. You know, we need this sure-footedness that is given by God. We need not to be subject to stumbling. Remember, we walk a narrow path. It's narrow to the degree of almost being a tightrope. The slightest staggering to one side or the other is going to result in disaster. So we need this sure-footedness that comes from our path being ordered, our steps being ordered by the Lord. I have a collection of other texts which I'm going to have to forego. Maybe when I send the message out, as I hope I'll be able to do, I'll put in the texts and people can look them up. Where we place our feet, where we walk, is important. There are places we must not go. And the young ones here, how I want to impress that on your heart. There's places we must not go. Doesn't matter what signs are over the doors of those places and how exciting they appear and how inviting they appear and how thrilling they appear. God says, don't go. And if we obey the Lord and are seeking that ordering of our steps, then we will not go. We will not go there. For where we place our feet, where we place our feet, is of great importance. I've often thought of those who had that unenviable task in wartime of tracing the landmines that had been planted by the enemy. The weight of their foot would set it off and bring an end to their lives. And if that didn't happen, bring the most horrible injuries. And there were men in special regiments or special units that had the task of clearing a path for soldiers following so that they could walk safely. And how gently and properly a person engaged in that particular task would walk. Christian, I want to tell you this, there's no better landmine layer than the devil. And he can lay them where you'd never expect them. To where we place our feet as we pass through life is very important. We need to pray that the Lord will bless our feet as well as our heads and our hearts and our hands. Maybe we never think of praying about our feet. Oh, how we need to. The psalmist did. Order my steps. Lord, you direct them. You place each one of my feet in the place, the spot that you want me to step on. That's what Christianity comes down to. Second thing I want to say is that the Christian walks a step at a time. So often our relationship with the Lord is termed a walk. One or two occasions there's a mention of running, but invariably, our pilgrimage is described as a walk, a step at a time. It's like the baby. What an announcement is made when baby takes the first step. What encouragement has been offered to the little one. In the days that preceded that first step, when it seemed as if they were getting ready just to launch out. And that's how, for them, life began. One step at a time. You know, we can't plan what lies ahead. As the old hymn says, we know not what tomorrow brings. And it's even more limited than that. We know not what the next step will bring. And in the taking of that step, we need the Lord's grace and help. I was struck the other day by a statement made by the new health minister. Of course, I'm always amused by the fact that when these men take over a new job, they're just going to turn the world upside down, these fellows. But give them a little time and they'll find that they'll make very little of any impression on the job that they have taken. Well, the new health secretary, and I hope I can pronounce his name correctly, Sajid Javid, he said, and vowed indeed, that once the restrictions come to an end, or are greatly eased on July the 19th, he's speaking about England, of course, there'll be no going back. There'll be no going back. Or in other words, there'll be no reintroduction of restrictions. Do you know when he said that, I had to smile and say, boy, it'll not be too long until you're making a feast of those words, for you'll eat them. I've often said, there's no vaccination for God's judgment. I don't care what men come up with by way of medicine to tackle COVID. It's going to be around, and it's going to plague this nation. And although the nation is determined not to see God or His hand in what is happening, and of course I could make references to the book of the Revelation where God's plagues come upon the earth and intensify to a tremendous degree, and even then men gnaw their tongue in pain but won't acknowledge it's of God. They curse God, but they won't acknowledge His sovereignty. And there's that unwillingness by our nation to see anything of God and what is happening. God's never mentioned. None of the churchmen ever mentioned. There's never been any point made of calling on God in prayer. The nation to repent, nothing of that nature has been said. At a national level, oh yes, it is said in little Bible-believing assemblies, and prayer is offered in those assemblies. But as far as the nation is concerned, God's not involved in this, and He will not be acknowledged. And this poor man makes this boastful, arrogant, defiant, almost blasphemous statement. You know, men walk as God determines. It is He who rules and reigns in the kingdoms of men, and this world will yet learn that truth. So, the Christian walks a step at a time. Just remember that, dear Christian. Don't be planning too far ahead without seeking the Lord and asking Him for His guidance and His help and knowing His clear leading. Third thing I want you to notice is the Bible is the path in which we should walk. What does it say? Order my steps in Thy word. Here's the path we should follow. Here's the map that we should consult as to where we should walk. The Word of God. One and all, I say to you, how important it is to read the Bible. How important it is to read the Bible. To consult it. To heed it. To believe and obey it. And it's only by so doing that our steps will be ordered in the Word of God. How important it is to make the Bible the only authority in our lives. And again, I say to the young people, here's a rule, just please memorize it. It's not public opinion. It's not what those around us say and claim is the thing to do. It's not what's advantageous to us financially, business-wise, or to the promoting of our image. That is the rule we should follow. It's the rule by which the vast majority of people live. But let it not be the rule you follow. And it doesn't matter how following God's word brings you into conflict with the opinions of others. Don't worry about it. The thing to worry about is not being in conflict with God's opinion. That's to be avoided at all costs. When we find ourselves in conflict with man's opinion, you can look to the Lord to resolve the problem and the situation and help you out of it. I spent my life, and I suppose, maybe it's just my makeup, but I spent my life being out of step with public opinion and rejoicing in it. I'm most happy in that position. Most happy. And I can say to you that as a result of doing that, I have enjoyed and I have witnessed the wondrous ways the Lord can just open a door of escape and deliver you from the wrath of men who are upset and vexed with you holding the opinion that you do. My problem is when I'm in the pulpit and I start speaking like that, all sorts of memories start coming up of incidents that would wonderfully set forth proof of what it is I've just been saying, but I'll try very hard not to take up the promptings of memories. Suffice for me to emphasize, it's important to make the Bible our rule of faith and practice. The Lord will never lead us in a way that is contrary to His word. Never. There will be plenty who will come to you saying they come from the Lord. They come with a message from the Lord, and the message they give to you is very obviously in contradiction of the word of God. Well, you can know right away. Here is the devil speaking. Here is an agent of the pit wanting to get me off the path of God's word.
There are any amount of them about today.
In fact, there's more about today than there ever was. I feel that's true. There's an abundance. It talks in Revelation about the pit being opened in the very last days, and all sorts of evil emanating from it. Well, I honestly think that that portion in Revelation, which sets forth this picture, is a symbolizing of the emergence that we see today in the world of falsehood at every level, dressed up as Christianity. That's the worst form of satanic attack. But there's an abundance of those who would claim to be God's servants, and they're preaching the devil's message. And the only way you can know them, because you'll not know them by looking at them. They're too well disguised. They look like angels of light. And the only way you will know whether they're right or wrong is by examining what they're preaching in the light of the Bible. You bring it to the Word of God. Is that what the Bible says? Is that what the Bible says? By their fruits, what they produce, you'll know them. You'll know them. Well, I come to the fourth and final little point. The path that is ordered in God's Word is one of victory. Do you see that? Here we have it. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. That's victory. Wonderfully defined. That's the victorious Christian life. Wonderfully defined. No iniquity having dominion over you, controlling you. The path that's ordered in God's word, the steps that are ordered by God's truth, brings us victory. I so marvel at how every little word in this text carries a message to us. John the Apostle said, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Steps ordered by God will bring us constantly under the blood, and thereby deliverance from all sin. It's the duty of every believer, as is set forth in Romans 6:12, to avoid sin. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. I say this to myself. Here's my duty. Let not sin. How am I going to avoid it? Praying, Lord, order my steps in thy word. That's how. That's how. Walking in the truth of God keeps us under the blood of Christ, the sin-defeating blood of the Lamb. We have assurance of victory. We can be certain of it. It's not a vain hope or a maybe or a perhaps. We have an assurance of victory. Psalm 121 and the verse 3 reads, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. And if God's not slumbering and watching over you, you'll not stumble. 1 Samuel chapter 2 verse 9, he will keep the feet of his saints. You didn't think your feet were so important, but they are. They are. Psalm 19, the verse 13, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright. Upright, not stumbling, not falling over. Upright, firm on my feet. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. That's Psalm 19, the verse 13. So these are a few thoughts from this lovely little text. Please take them to heart. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts for his name's sake.